Welcome to CAG Radio. Today we have a special show for you. We will be discussing the Klingon episodes that appeared in Star Trek The Original Series, along with musical selections by Five Year Mission. We'll talk a little more about the band in a few minutes. There were 7 episodes involving Klingons out of the 80 episodes that aired between 1966 and 1969. The order we will be looking at the 7 Klingon episodes has been determined by you, our listeners. We put out a poll and asked you to respond by ranking your most favorite to least favorite Klingon episodes in the series. The Klingon race was created by Gene L. Kuhn in 1967 for the 27th episode of the series, Errand of Mercy. Writer and producer Gene Kuhn was considered a genius for his fine storytelling as well as his brilliant scripts. He wrote for numerous popular television shows and is a legend for fans of the original series. In the script for the first appearance of Klingons, Kuhn described that Klingons should appear as being oriental and hard-faced. As time went on, Klingons became stock villains that many believe represented the Soviet Union. Owing to budget restrictions, Klingons looked the same as humans except for their skin being covered with shoe polish and sporting Fu Manchu-style goatees, giving them a sinister look. The name Klingon comes from one of Roddenberry's friends during his time on the Los Angeles Police Force, a gentleman named Wilbur Klingon. Now, coming in at the 7th episode on our list is the 22nd episode of the 3rd season, The Savage Curtain. On this episode, the Enterprise is surveying a volcanic planet when suddenly Abraham Lincoln appears on the bridge main viewer and asks to be brought aboard the ship. He is, and no one is convinced that Lincoln is actually aboard.
President Lincoln, indeed. No doubt to be followed by Louis of France and Robert the Bruce.
If so, we'll execute appropriate honors to each, Mr. Scott.
After a tour of the ship, Lincoln convinces Kirk that he and Spock should beam down to the planet. Some of the crew is rather dubious about this decision.
Jim, I would be the last to advise you on your command image.
I got that bone, but continue.
Our heroes are joined by Surak, a Vulcan legend who formed the philosophy of logic as a way of life. Kirk, Spock, Lincoln, and Surak learn that they are to be part of a demonstration of a battle between good and evil. On the evil side, the Klingon race is represented by Kalis the Unforgettable. He is portrayed as being ruthless and also does voice impressions.
Help me, Spock. Help me, Spock.
Now can you cry like Lincoln?
Help me, Kirk.
Help me, Kirk.
Of course, good triumphs over evil, but the aliens that host the demonstration only learn how the methods of the two sides are the same. Next up is an episode that features Dr. McCoy. Coming in at the number 6 spot is Friday's Child. This story takes place on a planet McCoy visited before, and he knows the ways of the Capellans, the planet's inhabitants. The Capellans are a warrior race on a planet rich with dilithium crystals, a key element for starship propulsion for both the Federation and the Klingon Empire. The Capellan leader is to decide whether the Federation or the Klingons are to be granted mining rights. The Tier leans toward the Klingons being given mining rights until their representative, Cross, begins to show dishonor and the Federation becomes seriously considered. Kirk, Spock, and McCoy learn that the late Tier's pregnant wife is to be executed, so they take her and head for a place where she can be safe. While Kirk and Spock prepare for battle, McCoy tries to take the woman to a safe place in the mountains.
Look, I'm a doctor, not an escalator. Spock, give me a hand.
No, I will allow only your touch.
Meanwhile, in orbit, the Enterprise has been lured away by a faked distress call. When Mr. Scott suspects a second distress call is also faked, he reminds Mr. Sulu of an old saying.
There's an old saying on Earth, Mr. Sulu. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
I know this saying. It was invented in Russia.
While the new Tier pursues our heroes, McCoy administers a peculiar treatment method before the birth of Aline's child.
How'd you arrange to touch her bones, give her a happy pill?
No. Right cross.
Crass shows his final dishonor and kills the new Tier. The child is born, and the Federation is granted mining rights on the planet. Kirk and Spock receive a particular honor, which is much to the irritation of Mr. Spock.
Representing the High Tier, Leonard James Akaar.
The child was named Leonard James Akaar.
Has a kind of a ring to it, don't you think, James?
Yes, I think it's a name destined to go down in galactic history, Leonard. What do you think, Spock?
I think you're both going to be insufferably pleased with yourselves for at least a month, sir.
Here is Five-Year Mission with their musical impression of Friday's Child.
Thank you.
band Five-Year Mission is out of Indianapolis, Indiana, and our Trek fan favorites who have undertaken the mission of writing songs for all of the episodes from the original series. The members of Five-Year Mission are Noah Butler, Andy Fark, Patrick O'Connor, Mike Rittenhouse, and Chris Spurgeon. All the guys in the band are professional musicians and share the songwriting duties. Band member Mike Rittenhouse describes the band with these words. When I came up with the concept of writing a song for every episode of Star Trek, I truly had no idea how awesome of an undertaking it was going to be. In less than a year, we have jumped from a couple of guys getting our musical geek on to a well-greased machine that is selling albums worldwide. We are getting requests to appear in many cities all around the world and may have to quit our day jobs to keep up with it. What I love about it the most is that we are totally serious about the concept. We are not posers. We love this project and hold it to the absolute highest standards. We'll hear more from Five-Year Mission a little later. Next up, our number 5 Trek episode involving Klingons. But first, here's a word from our sponsor.
From the homeworld, in the Hamar Mountains, picked by Batleth, pulverized by hand, there are many copies, but only one original.
Prune juice.
Warrior's drink.
The pride of Kalis.
Elan of Troyes comes in at the number 5 spot in our countdown. The Enterprise is chosen to deliver the Dolmen of Elan to Troyes for an arranged marriage to the leader of that planet, to secure the peace between the two. An emissary from Troyes has been charged with helping Elan get ready to fulfill her role, but she takes offense to Petri, the emissary, and stabs him.
Well, I've heard of reluctant brides, but this is ridiculous.
Kirk decides it will be up to him to train Elan himself. The first lesson was on table manners. As he leaves the first lesson, she throws a knife at him, and he promises to come back with a new lesson. Kirk leaves for a time, and when he returns for Elan's next lesson, he is barred at the door by a guard.
Will you tell Her Glory that Captain Kirk requests the honor of a visit?
The Dolmen has promised that I will be whipped to death if I let Captain Kirk pass through that door.
While she is taken with Kirk himself, she is not impressed at all with his methods, which include restraining her when she tries to stab him. She warns Kirk not to touch her again.
You are warned, Captain, never to touch me again.
If I touch you again, Your Glory, it'll be to administer an ancient Earth custom called a spanking, a form of punishment administered to spoiled brats.
Elan confesses she wants to learn how to make people like her. While Kirk comforts her, her teardrops touch him, and he cannot resist her, and they fall in love. Meanwhile, a Klingon vessel pursues Enterprise, and one of Elan's guards, Crichton, is found to be working for the Klingons. He has sabotaged the warp drive. The Klingon ship feigns an attack, and it is discovered that as soon as the Enterprise goes into warp, it will explode. Elan enters the bridge and is found to be wearing a necklace made of dilithium, and Scotty adapts the crystals to drive the ship. The commander of the Klingon ship contacts Kirk and demands he surrender, but with the Enterprise able to maneuver again, he lures the Klingon in for the kill. Elan tearfully leaves the Enterprise to fulfill her obligation, and McCoy worries about the effect of the tears on Kirk. Spock points out that the Enterprise infected Kirk long before the Dolmen arrived on the scene. Unfortunately, Five-Year Mission hasn't released songs for this episode or Savage Curtain, but you can watch for them to appear on their next album, Year 5, to be released in the near future. If you are interested in what the band has to offer, I urge you to check them out at fiveyearmission.net. All of their work is available for purchase through their website at very reasonable prices. In the number 4 spot, you chose the second season episode, A Private Little War. On a scientific mission, Kirk returns to a planet he has visited in the past. When he, Spock, and McCoy beam down to the planet, the three are surprised when one of the townspeople shoots Spock with a firearm that they should not have at the planet's level of development. Kirk soon learns that the once peaceful planet now has two factions that are at war with each other. He also learns the Klingons are behind the scenes providing advanced weapons to the townspeople, while the Hill people continue to use more primitive weapons. The Klingon commander, Krell, explains new weapons advancements to Apella and the rewards he will get by cooperating with the Klingon Empire.
I'll make a Klingon of you yet.
Kirk decides to ignore the Prime Directive and provides the same weapons to the Hill people as the Klingons are providing to the townspeople. Meanwhile, Spock fights for his life aboard the Enterprise. Kirk is attacked by an ape-like creature, and only his friend's wife can save his life. She puts a spell on Kirk, and he falls in love with her. Kirk's friend, Tyree, at first refuses to use the weapons Kirk provides, but when Nona, Tyree's wife, is killed by a Klingon soldier, he decides he wants more weapons, and Kirk promises to provide them.
War isn't a good life, but it's life.
Aboard the Enterprise, Spock recovers through some interesting methods of treatment provided by Nurse Chapel.
Spock, are you alive?
An illogical question, Doctor, since obviously you are hearing my voice.
Well, I don't know why I was worried. You can't kill a computer.
Kirk leaves the planet with the legacy of war to come. Now, here's 5-Year Mission with their musical interpretation of A Private Little War.
Hold back and you'll not back down. And you keep on going.
Chris Spurgeon, member of 5-Year Mission, explains the idea behind this song this way. There is really a lot going on in this episode, but what I found most fascinating is Tyree and his inner struggle as he fights to do what he thinks is right, even when everyone else is trying to get him to do something else. Even more so, I was intrigued by what that would mean to Kirk and how he would see this man, who he clearly respects and holds in high regard as a friend, as he transformed from someone who would never kill into a man bent on revenge. The song is from the perspective of Kirk as he watches his friend destroyed by what is happening around him. He observes who his friend is and what he is becoming, but he also takes full responsibility for his actions when in the chorus he states, "Here we are, you will wage a private little war to save yourselves." He knows it isn't his fault, but he has a hand in it. The feel changes from verse to chorus as the verse represents the buildup to Tyree's fall and the chorus represents the eventual embrace of the chaos. There's a keyboard part at the beginning that wasn't intended to be there, but, as so often happens, evolved in the practice room. Now, listening, it becomes a constant driving force through the song. I love when that happens. This turned out to be a pretty dark song, but with the subject I chose, it was difficult to be anything else. Next up, a fan favorite, coming in at number 3, The Trouble with Tribbles. The Enterprise is called to an emergency situation on Space Station K7. When Kirk and crew arrive, they find everything peaceful on and around the station. Kirk tells the station manager that since there is no apparent emergency, he will be in big trouble for putting an entire quadrant on alert for no reason. The manager explains that it isn't he who ordered the alert, but it was a Federation official named Barriss. Barriss's problem becomes apparent when the Klingons stop at K7 to use the facility for rest and recreation, which is allowed under the terms of a treaty. Barriss wants Kirk to see to the security of some grain destined to be used to secure the cooperation of Sherman's Planet for the Federation, while the Klingons are also trying to gain control of the same place. Kirk is dubious about guarding the grain, and even more so about Barriss.
Starfleet Commander,
I have never questioned the orders or the intelligence of any representative of the Federation. Until now.
After an order from Starfleet, Kirk gives Barriss what he wants, but Barriss is not satisfied. Kirk informs Koloth that he is only allowed to bring a small number of his crew aboard K7, and there will be one guard for every Klingon. By this time, Kirk is getting quite a headache between dealings with Klingons, Barriss, and the Tribbles.
Yes, Mr. Barriss, what can I do for you?
Kirk, this station is swarming with Klingons.
I was not aware, Mr. Barriss, that 12 Klingons constitutes a swarm.
And if that isn't enough, there's a good old-fashioned bar fight on the station.
Of course, I'd say that Captain Kirk deserves his ship. We like the Enterprise. We really do.
That sagging old rust bucket is designed like a garbage scow. Half the quadrant knows it. That's why they're learning to speak Klingonese.
Mr. Scott.
Laddie, don't you think you should rephrase that?
You're right. I should. I didn't mean to say that the Enterprise should be hauling garbage.
I meant to say that it should be hauled away as garbage.
The Tribbles seem to be everywhere and are causing some controversy among the crew.
I see no practical use for them.
Does everything have to have a practical use for you? They're nice, they're soft, and they're furry, and they make a pleasant sound.
So would an ermine violin, Doctor, but I see no advantage in having one.
It is a human characteristic to love little animals, especially if they're attractive in some way.
Doctor, I am well aware of human characteristics. I am frequently inundated by them, but I have trained myself to put up with practically anything.
Spock, I don't know too much about these little tribbles yet, but there is one thing that I have discovered.
What is that, Doctor?
I like them better than I like you.
Doctor.
Yeah.
They do indeed have one redeeming characteristic.
What's that?
They do not talk too much. Excuse me, sir.
Then, on top of that, it is discovered the grain has been poisoned and there is a Klingon agent on the station. Kirk kicks the Klingons off the station, arrests the spy, and the crew gives the tribbles to the Klingons. Here is Five Year Mission's musical impressions of The Trouble with Tribbles.
Please don't transport us into the void.
In the number two spot is my personal favorite Klingon-related episode, Day of the Dove. Mike Rittenhouse, of Five Year Mission, wrote this about the work that went into creating the song for this episode. There is one major thing I did different with this track that we have never done before in a Five Year Mission song. Each member of the band got to write their own verse, and everyone was involved in creating the backing track and mixing the song. That would have been a great undertaking on its own, even without it being the last thing we worked on right before sending the album off. Doing all this under a time crunch made it much more challenging. I was really impressed with each of the other guys' verses. They were far more than what I expected. I'm really proud of these guys that I get to make music with. So in this episode, the Enterprise responds to a distress call, as does a Klingon D-7 cruiser. Suddenly, sensors indicate a number of explosions on the Klingon vessel, and Kirk orders the Klingon crew be rescued. Unknown to either party, an entity is slipped aboard the Enterprise that feeds on violent emotions. The entity sets up a small war aboard the ship and the two factions. As the animosity among the two crews intensifies, plans are made.
4,000 throats may be cut in one night by a running man.
As the war begins, the Enterprise heads out into unknown space at a high rate of speed. It is also noted that when someone is wounded or killed in a skirmish, they miraculously heal or even reanimate to continue the fight. When Kirk figures out what is going on, he tries to convince Mara, Kang's wife, and first officer to help him stop the fight. She is reluctant at first.
We have always fought. We must. We are hunters, Captain, tracking and taking what we need.
Kirk finally convinces Mara, who talks to Kang. The entity influences Kang not to listen. Finally, Kirk and Kang begin a battle, and Kang sees the entity with his own eyes and is convinced.
Klingons kill for their own purposes.
When it is suggested that jovial sentiments might weaken the entity, Kirk and Kang team up for an uneasy comedy routine.
Get off my ship. You're a dead duck here. You're powerless. We know about you. And we don't want to play. Maybe there are others like you around. Maybe you've caused a lot of suffering, a lot of history, but that's all over. We'll be on guard now. We'll be ready for you. So ship out. Come on, haul it. Out already.
Out! We need no urging to hate humans. But for the present, only a fool fights in a burning house. Out!
The entity slinks off the Enterprise back into deep space. Here is Five Year Mission's take on Day of the Dove.
Undo injustice and all of my friends. The feds try to keep me locked up tight, but thanks to my homies, I'm back in the fight. But first, we still need to educate. It seems some of you came to this party late.
You still seem to think that Starfleet's the way.
When will you learn that they're not okay?
Flying around spreading their smiles and lies,
and all the while you buy their disguise. Just sit around like mindless dogs, letting them move in and reap the rewards.
Kandorians, once a warrior race, now they hide behind Tellarite.
Try to save face. The brother, his name was Krell.
He only tried to save the planet Noral from hell.
Helped the Pella defend his clan
against the oppressing faction of his fellow man.
Kirk showed up all better than now and armed the Pella's enemy somehow.
In the end, Krell didn't win,
and we never heard from him ever again. Now Klingons don't discriminate.
If you're not like us, y'all get the same fate. Give us any job, we'll finish the task.
We take what we want and we don't ask.
Like a piece of land that we want intact.
Y'all know we're getting
yeah, we done occupied that.
We'll show you the truth that you.
If you want to be slaughtered and choose to abide.
Day of the Dove, day of the Dove. Listen all y'all, it's a day of the Dove.
convinced? Need a little more? We'll take turns. We'll start with chords.
Him fed. Dead.
Treat him like the shirt is red. Chords hit a bunch of head.
Hear what he said?
Hear me straight, cause I'm getting paid to subjugate. Making you afraid.
Come on.
You know I dictate.
Hard.
Treat him like a graveyard. Coming from the old guard. Now I'm the vanguard.
Militant.
Yes, I'm vigilant. Taking no attitude for piss and dissidents. I exterminate any old predicament.
Unless you made a life.
For your omnipotence.
War has its fortunes, both great and disaster. Rising up the ranks to be a Daha master. Got my eyes set on the IKS cloth, though, son of Rhinox.
Coming straight out of Kronos.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
I'm the K-O-L-O-T-H, man. Give me some room, I'll disrupt your whole plan.
Okay.
Taking over your ship, yeah, we get it getting. Kirk got beef, cause we pulling mad getting. My crew hopped on board, swinging swords. We got mad fight skills, we win awards.
Fist, kick, blood.
Bodies collided, you're gonna be impressed by the beat that we provide. With the left, right, left, I'll leave your face a mess.
Yeah.
It's all in the name of
K-less.
You never will best be, best not test me. Or you'll be seeing the brains of my enemy. Infinite diversity, infinite combinations, as long as it's clean. I'm the Federation.
Okay.
Don't step to me, cause I don't think you're ready. Cause when it comes to rhymes,
I hold it steady.
I will swag and brag when I'm sipping on the heady. And when it's said and done, I'll leave your girl hot and sweaty.
You know, of course,
he's up the top.
If you're gonna be flinging insults, then you're definitely gonna need a doc.
Tor,
a psychiatrist. You know, someone to get in your head, undo all the damage you did, and tangle your ego. And if laid out on the floor, till your senses you away, bye bye. Then you'll be back on your golf scout with Captain Slime Devil, the holier than thou. Laying in your padded room when you were wondering how you managed to survive this row and not go under. So just let me clear this up, and you know how it's cause Korax allows it, so you better count
down.
KO walk to the axe, you better get it. So I'm making you feel the pain. You know, you better run. Diplomacy is the way of the Federation. You might say, hey man, why do we fight? There's plenty of booze and we both like drinking, right? But I'm not interested in peace, so let's just get this thing on to be human and not that. I'm a Klingon.
You all know me, I'm Onagi. Just one word. I keep adding warriors to my gang. Now I want to introduce you to our brother Kang.
I'm Kang.
He's Kang.
And I'm hard to kill compared to other Klingons.
He's really chill.
So go ahead, set your phaser on stun. I'll kill you with a sword instead of a gun. I'll bring my whole posse, including my wife, a science officer, but you'll take your life. Some Klingons have guts, some Klingons have balls. I'll have your head stuffed and hung on a wall. I'm honorable, I'm reasonable, and I'm on a roll with Federation numbskulls. An eye for an eye, they're in my sights. Before death's cowards die many times. I'll end the transmissions, then I'll end the mission. And then in addition, I'll kill with precision. So now hurry down, Doomsday, gonna make them all pay. I see through them like an x-ray. I don't have time for the human lies, so one time I commandeered the Enterprise. Kirk and his crew were so nearly crowded, I'd hack them to bits as we were surrounded. We were trapped by a glowing mirror ball, and if it weren't for that, we would've slayed them all. The fed scum will take over if we let them. I'll lead them straight to starting Armageddon. So you've heard our tales, and now it's up to you
to make the right choice and know what to do.
When the Federation knocks at your door,
and don't run and hide, you start the war.
Stop oppression and join the strike,
to teach others the Klingon way of life.
And hopefully someday there will be peace,
when everyone speaks Klingonese.
The number one choice of the Trekkies who took the poll chose the first episode to feature Klingons in the original series. That will come up right after this word from our sponsor.
Warrior, is your warnog sour? Is your blood wine not cutting it anymore? Are you finding yourself craving Romulan ale? Well, warrior, look no further. Do you need something that will give you some get up and go? Well, you need prune juice. Take it from the Federation's favorite Klingon.
Warrior's drink.
So we've reached the number one spot, chosen by you, the listeners. The number one episode is Errand of Mercy. The Enterprise is sent to the planet Organia, a planet the Klingons are looking at to use as a base of operations. Kirk and Spock beam down to the planet to find a non-industrial society that is completely peaceful. Kirk visits with Aelborn, the leader of the Council of Elders. Kirk offers the Organians protection, but Aelborn refuses, telling him it is not needed. As Kirk continues to appeal to the Council, the Klingons arrive with disruptors blazing, and in walks Kor.
This is the ruling council.
I am Aelborn, temporary head of the council. I bid you welcome.
No doubt you do. I am Kur, military governor of Organia.
He declares himself to be the planet's military governor. The council seems to be quite okay with that.
Smile and smile. I don't trust men who smile too much.
Kirk and Spock are in the council chambers and talk. Kor seems to have a small amount of respect for Kirk because he is a little defiant. Spock, who disguises himself as a merchant, is taken away to be mind-probed. Spock is brought back, and he and Kirk go on a spree of minor terrorist acts until they are caught. Aelborn reveals who Kirk is. In space, a Federation fleet prepares to face a Klingon fleet in open battle. Aelborn announces that there will be no war and establishes that if either party battles with the other, both will be destroyed. Kirk and Kor are quite indignant about this, as they were looking forward to battling each other. Aelborn makes an interesting prediction as the show ends.
It is true that in the future, you and the Klingons will become fast friends. You will work together.
Never!
Now, here is 5-Year Mission with their Errand of Mercy musical impressions. That's our show for today. We hope you've enjoyed our countdown of the original series Klingon episodes. The music of 5-Year Mission was used by permission, and be sure to check out the band's website, 5yearmission.net, to learn more about them. Today's show was sponsored by Prune Juice.
We look for things that make us go.
If the Pakleds had had it, they wouldn't need to look for things to make them go. Well, there it is. Kapla.